Underwood, Thin Ice. To smoke some weed and shut up. My God.
Oh, I thought for sure.
There it is. Boom!
Yes! All right. Atlanta Basketball Podcast, episode 180-something for armchairalini.com, amongst other things. December 20th, 2023.
Uh-huh. How you feeling today, Ethan?
Good.
Good?
Feeling good, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I feel like the interesting part about this Colgate game is that I think it's one of Illinois' three or four worst performances of the season. But they also had probably like a 99% win probability the entire game. So
that's,
I find that
saying something. What do you think, the whole game was bad, or just like that 10 minutes of the second half?
Well, after their hot start, I thought they started to kind of mess around a little bit. But let's also throw this out into the universe here, folks. I wasn't really paying attention, so I'm just throwing things out there.
Yeah, let's not act like Ethan wasn't just watching the Packers game and had no clue what was going on.
I had both things on, though, so that's...
Quackle, what's going on? How you doing today? Steve, how you doing? Jay says, hardly any negatives from this game. Great free throw shooting, and getting there over 20 times is a plus. Shooting right now, low 20s from three is good number for the squad. I agree. The three-point shooting was down this game. They attacked the rim more. And the biggest thing, I think, was balance scoring also. You had four of the five starters all in double digits. The one starter, of course, was Ty Rogers because, I mean, Ty Rogers isn't a scorer. Just get that out there. So, but players of the game, you and me both changed it up, you know, since last game. So I went with Quincy the Candyman Guerrier. Coming off a 22-point game, I believe, against Tennessee. He played 27 minutes, had 15 points, 4 of 6 from the field. He was perfect from 3, 2 for 2, 5 of 6 from the line, 7 rebounds and a steal. I feel like if Quincy can keep playing like this, Illinois, it'll be nice that they have other guys that they can rely on. Instead of this being Damask and Terrence Shannon, you have more options. So it was good to see that from him. He attacked the rim quite a bit. Illinois posted up pretty much everybody, it seemed like, against Colgate. So for a team that was supposed to be bigger, it was interesting that Illinois went that route.
I think the other thing about Colgate that needs to be said is that they suck. So how about that? I mean, you can be as tall as you want. If you're white and you suck, you know, that's the way it is. I went with Coleman Hawkins, who I think I went with in the Tennessee games. I think this is back-to-back.
Yeah, we both picked the same guy. That's what I said. Did you not hear me say that at the beginning?
Whatever. Who cares? Yeah, these guys are rolling, right?
Yeah.
It's a pretty long break between games, but Coleman, 30 minutes. I like that number, 30. I don't think you need to play more than 30 minutes at this stage, especially with the knee and especially the opponent. He's going to need to play 35-plus, though, on Thursday, I think. Friday, Jesus. 16 points, led the team. Just under 50% from the field, 6 for 14, that's fine. 2 for 6 from 3, it's probably about standard. It's actually exactly how I would expect him to perform with 6 threes. Is 2 for 6. Made both free throws, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, 1 block, 4 turnovers. Did a little bit of everything. And, you know, that's all I got there.
Yeah, Coleman played fine. It's not a great look when Coleman Hawkins and Terrence Shannon have 8 of your 13 turnovers. But that is what happened. So I guess you'll take that from those two because they handle the ball the most. Coleman, I think, had a no-look pass straight to the other team once. Shannon just out of control sometimes. That's what happens. Shannon, 38 minutes, 14 points, all those points in the first half, which is kind of nutty. He did have five blocks. I had a buddy that was at the game, and his son guaranteed that Terrence Shannon had nine blocks. So he asked me how many he had. Five, still a pretty good number. I think it was his career high. So 4 of 10, 2 of 6 from three, kind of the same numbers as Coleman. Close, I don't know. 4 for 4 from the line, 3 rebounds and assist. Underwood said of Terrence, we don't need Terrence to score 30 every game. He can help us in multiple ways. So just score 14 in the first half, Terrence. Jeffrey, what's going on? How are you? The game was never in doubt, but they did run an offense first half and got good boards. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was kind of worried at the 3:30 mark when Colgate went on an 11-0 run or 13-2 run or whatever. I think DeMask ended up hitting a three, his only three of the game, when it was an 11-point game. That kind of put it out of reach, or a 9-point game. DeMask, 23 minutes, 15 points, 4 of 10, 1 of 4 from 3. He was perfect from the line, 6 of 6. Illinois shot 90.9% from the free throw line. Seems pretty good.
Yep.
Lazy Forrest Gump, how you doing? We will play a lot. First to 65 wins the game.
No, they won't.
Okay. Jay says, Shannon defense was impressive this game. That block in the first half was outstanding. He shut down their point guard. Yeah, the block where he kind of ran down, I can't remember who it was, but Colgate, I mean, they didn't play too good, but
they played almost exactly the way they've played against every team like this, except for Yale. They're really bad, but Arizona, they scored 55 points. Syracuse sucks, so that doesn't really count. And then they only scored 50 against Yale, but they've scored under 70 by a significant amount in 3 of their 5 losses. They suck. And by the way, the first to 65 wins, that might, I actually can't tell if that'll be true or not. Like, there's been games where, you know, you could see it, but then there's also the Florida Atlantic game. They put up as many points as they did. And Rutgers, true, they scored 70 plus pretty easily. Tennessee, they scored 70 plus. I don't know. I feel like I don't really know what their offense is, but you know, one thing this team's doing right now,
winning,
making free throws. Very solid.
Yeah. Steve says up to 13th with no point guard. Not bad. No point guard. Rogers played 35 minutes. He was 2 of 5, 4 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 turnover. I'll take that out of our point guard right now. So,
3 games in a row, 85 plus percent from the free throw line.
That's pretty good. I guess it depends on who you get to the free throw line, though, right?
Well, 18 for 20 against FAU, and that was Harmon, Guerrier, Shannon, Hawkins, DeMask.
Yeah.
24 for 28 against Tennessee. Shannon, Hawkins, Guerrier, DeMask, Rogers, 3 for 4. Goody. And then this game, 20 for 22. Shannon, Roger, nice try. Shannon, Hawkins, Guerrier, DeMask, Harmon, Danger, 1 for 2. So,
yeah, you only had 2 misses. Not going to complain about that. Underwood was very impressed with how Ty Rogers practiced coming into this game. So, as you know, that turned into a great game for him.
Yep.
Jeff says, I felt like the first half was more team offense. The second half was more ISO. Quackle says, not sure if we're at this point in the episode yet, but can we debate whether Underwood's job is on the line? I have a hard time anybody that's going to debate that he needs to be gone. Jeffrey says, Ethan, do we have a breakdown?
Who cares?
On rebounds per half. Wow. I mean, who cares them? You didn't even let him finish the question.
I already saw it, and I still, who cares?
Ethan's been sick, guys, so he's going to be a little bit more moody than he usually is, which, you know, he's usually moody, so He's even worse now. I just want to throw that out there for you guys.
It would be a shame if I get even more sick and then, you know, Friday, oh no, you know.
I mean, I'm still going to have people for a watch party. If we do it live or not, it doesn't really matter to me.
I was just saying, just throwing it out there. I'm really in the in-between right now. Like, I don't know if it's going to get better or worse right now. So I think tomorrow, I thought today would be a good sign of whether that would be the case or not, but I still kind of feel the same. Yeah. But tomorrow is going to be a big day.
I can hear it in your throat for sure.
Well, usually it's worse than this. So I've expected it to get worse, but it's not getting worse yet. But we're going to find out, you know, like I said, tomorrow, big day.
We can chuck you in a bubble with a microphone.
Yeah, I'm not even going to say what my response to that would be. You know?
Good. Jay says Dane rarely plays, so shouldn't worry about him shooting free throws. And Rodgers doesn't shoot. Probably two of the worst free throw shooters. What's Rodgers' percentage this year? It's got to be.
How the hell do I find rebounds per half? Like, how the fuck?
No clue.
What was the Rodgers free throw percentage?
Yeah.
He's 7 for 12, which is 58.
That's perfect.
Which sounds so much worse than it is. 7 for 12 sounds pretty good to me.
What has he been lately? Like, he started the season like 0 for 5 maybe, and now
he started the season 0 for 2.
Yeah,
in the last 4 games where he shot free throws after an 0 for 2 start, he is 7 for 10. He went 0 for 1 against Eastern, 0 for 1 against Oakland, 2 for 2 against Valpo, 1 for 2 against Western, 1 for 2 against Rutgers, 3 for 4 against Tennessee. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
He was 12 for 31 last year. So,
Lazy Forrest Gump says the zone gave us a little problem. Coleman has to live at the high post free throw line against the zone. Yeah, I think Coleman does a pretty good job of running that position against the zone. The high low game with Dane is going to be something that they did play them more together, but it wasn't a whole lot. Coleman did say, quote, "I love playing with Dane. I'm not a five, but I am doing that right now for the team. So whenever I get an opportunity to play that forward position, it always feels good. I feel like a good post entry guy. I feel like sometimes we miss him a lot, and I am like, damn, I wish I was in the game and I could hit him. That's something I want to see more going forward." So Coleman wants to move to the four and have Dane play 25 plus minutes. So
see you, Quincy.
Ryan said that he was at last year's Bragging Rights game, got free tickets because of the weather. Most embarrassing game I've ever seen. We need revenge. Yeah, I think that at one time that was our biggest, most viewed episode because the Missouri fans really loved us.
I really don't want to miss the Bragging Rights game this year, though. I will say I don't want to, like, I do want us to try to do the watch party. So tomorrow's a big day, like I said. Big day.
Yeah.
Could be the determining factor.
Well, I mean, we could always do it like that. We could just bring you in like this.
Yeah, I mean, that would be unfortunate, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do for the team.
You'd have to give me all the equipment and tell me how to set it up, though. That could be a mess.
That would be tough. Yeah. This is why we need a producer.
The bench. Goody, 19 minutes, 1 of 2 from 3. 3 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. Goody stays consistent, is consistent. Nothing bad to say about him. Danger, 14 minutes, 2 for 3 from the field, 1 for 2 from the line, 5 points, 8 rebounds. What did you think of the Dane Coleman?
Great. Great.
Did you see any of it?
Not really, no.
Okay. Harmon, 11 minutes. Didn't make a basket, 2 for 2 from the line, 2 points, 2 rebounds, an assist, a steal. DGL, my player to watch, played 3 minutes, chucked up 2 terrible shots, rode the pine.
This is why.
Don't you wish DGL would have played more in this game, though?
Yeah, I mean, fine, but this is why
we need Niccolo Moretti back to.
Let me throw 2 things at this one. Number one, I think the reason why he didn't play as much is because you're playing a mid-major team that is top 140, and they have made the tournament for the last 5 years. So you have to, you know, you don't want to lose that game. I mean, you look at some of the other results around the country all year. That there's, I'm sure Colgate, if they didn't have to play Arizona and Illinois, they probably could have beaten like another top 25 team. So it's not a mid-major you want to mess around with as much. And DGL has just not been very good in the spots that he's been given opportunities, which still another game for him to do something. The 29th against Fairleigh Dickinson. So, you know, there's always an opportunity for him to do something there. But we also just can't get ahead of ourselves with young players. Like, you can't just expect Nico Moretti to come in and, you know, be a super impact guy that doesn't make a ton of mistakes. It's just insane to think. So I think the people on Twitter who constantly call for Moretti as being the point guard, you know, playing 20 minutes a game or something against good opponents, you're probably getting ahead of yourself and you're probably pretty stupid. So that's just my thought. I mean, there's a lot of Illini fans who think that way. So I don't want to, you know, call everybody out, but I feel like it's insane to have it.
There's a lot of stupid Illini fans.
They're a boatload. It's just so many. but yeah, I don't think we can get too high or too low on freshmen and young players without a lot of experience. I was as big a fan as DGL as almost anybody coming in. Can we also talk about the fact that Imani Hansberry just doesn't play now? I mean,
that's true. I didn't think about that.
This team is really old. These freshmen could not have come in and expected to play a lot of minutes.
Yeah.
There's no way. I don't know. Whatever.
I agree.
We're going to do it with Merez Johnson, but the difference is I think Merez Johnson is going to be a little bit more ready than any of these freshmen, at least these two.
Yeah, I would agree. Are you drinking tea there, or what are you sipping on?
I'm not gonna disclose that. No free ads.
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to see if you're trying to help the throat. So
no, throat's fine. It's cool.
Okay. Jeff says they didn't really work the two-man game between Coleman and Dane. I would agree. I did not see much in the Coleman, Dane, you know, playing those two guys. I didn't see it beneficial very much. Dane only got three shots up. Coleman said that he can get the ball to Dane more, and it really didn't happen. So, Forrest Gump says, crazy as it sounds, teams are playing for net rankings more than playing reserves. Letting teams make runs affects that.
That is a big flaw because if you look at BYU, why BYU is so highly ranked in the net, it's because they just destroy bad teams. Like,
yeah,
they beat Houston Christian by 47. And then they beat Southeastern Louisiana by 57. And they beat Morgan State by 43. And they beat Arizona State by 28. They beat Fresno State by 29. And they beat Evansville by 31. It's just, 41, excuse me. If you destroy lesser opponents, that's going to boost the net ranking. Net ranking. Why did I say rating? That's an NBA thing, idiot.
Idiot.
Yeah, so that is part of why the net is so stupid is right there.
Yeah. Jeff says DGL looks like he's playing not to make mistakes in Brad's doghouse. I don't know. Jay says, I can see why DGL shoots when he gets in there because he never plays. He did force two bad shots in this one and sat the rest of the game. He needs to let the game come to him to get more minutes. I agree. I think DGL, he's playing very wired right now. And when you have a bunch of seniors above you that play under control, it doesn't look good when you come in the game and you play like that. So
yeah, back over the net, there's also a part of the net where where a team like Alabama, who's good, very good metrics, you know, the best offensive efficiency in the country, but like you almost get rewarded for losing in some ways. I mean, they're 1-4 against the Q1 opponents they've faced, 6-4 overall, but they're 10th in the net. Part of that is probably, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 blowout wins of their 6 against bad opponents. Indiana State's not a bad team, but They did beat them by 20, but then losses to Ohio State, Clemson, Purdue, and Creighton. So you almost get rewarded for stuff like that. Update on Illinois' net, 20th. They dropped 6 spots, probably because they're not blowing teams out by enough or something. I don't know. I mean, they don't have any losses.
Not bad.
You look at teams with quad two losses that are, you know, in the top or ahead of Illinois, Purdue, Iowa State, Colorado State, you know, it's tough. I mean, Creighton is a Q3 loss.
Illinois could have won this game by 30 if they didn't score 9 points in the first 10 minutes of the second.
Would you guys like to know another fun fact about why the Nets sucks? You ready for this? Let me just throw this one at you. Illinois beat Florida Atlantic, right? We watched that. Illinois has the same number of quad one wins as Florida Atlantic. Of course, Illinois' quad one win was Florida Atlantic. The 1-2, Florida Atlantic's 1-1. Florida Atlantic has a quad four loss to Bryant. And Florida Atlantic is 9 spots ahead of Illinois in the net. 9 spots. With a quad four loss, the same number of quad one wins, and then a head-to-head loss. So good stuff there. Also, the net is a complete disaster all year round, but it's even worse now. Thank you. I did want to get into the net at some point today, and I'm glad we're able to do that.
Steve's still talking about DGL. He said if he kicks everybody's ass in practice, he will get playing time. These older players make him look like a punk in practice, and that is he doesn't get as much time in games. Forrest Gump says the game hasn't slowed down for DGL. Jay says, seen a Merez YouTube clip a week ago. Dude looks like a grown man playing versus junior high kids. Dude will probably be a stud. I think they beat the number one 4A team the other night. Normal.
Anyway, back over the net. Do you think Nebraska is the 5th best team in the Big Ten right now? Because I think you have Purdue, Illinois, Wisconsin, Ohio State. And then I think the 5th spot comes down to Nebraska, Indiana, Michigan State. I still think Michigan State probably will be at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But Nebraska might make the tournament this year. I don't know. A lot of hype for them. I mean, they do have a Q2 loss, but other than that, I don't even know who that loss is to. Because their Q1 would be Creighton. Who else would they lose to?
They just lost to somebody.
Minnesota. Chicago. Okay.
Minnesota, right?
Yeah, that's a Q2 or 3 loss. Whatever. Back over the net. yeah, I mean, you look at some of the teams in the 30s and 40s right now, it's kind of shocking given the expectations. Like Gonzaga 36, North Carolina 37, Michigan State 41, Villanova 45. I know people are taking shots at me in the comments. Michigan State 41. So Ole Miss, by the way, Ole Miss. This is another part of the net that's kind of funny. Like Ole Miss is probably not a top 30 team, right? I guess maybe they – I mean, they're 11-0, but I also don't think they're that good, you know? That's the weird thing. Great.
Forrest Gump says they call it the net because you got to be dumb to get caught up in it.
All right. Okay, Forrest Gump. I mean, you're
– He's the one that started it. So, yeah,
Gump was a real smart character.
Good win against Colgate. I mean, we're all over the net right now. Let's just finish up the Colgate game. Illinois out rebounding 43-25. Illinois only 23 threes, 8 of 23 from 3. I like to see that number a lot more than Tennessee. Of course, Tennessee only gave them 3s to shoot, so which I think might happened in the Mizzou game too. So get ready for 30 plus threes against Missouri. Underwood, his final thoughts on the game, quote, I thought it was good. It's one of the reasons why you play a game like this. It's nice to see us able to adjust. They played 3% of their possessions in that zone. So you don't see it a lot. Our guys adjusted to it on the fly and not prepping for it. Mature team that handled it a little flat at times, but we did that, and it was against a really good college basketball team. End quote.
Texas is 65th, ranked 65 in the net. How about that?
I don't. Is Texas good this year?
I mean, they got Max Acewis and Tyrese Hunter. Good backcourt.
Texas good this year?
I don't think they've really had any opportunities to. I don't think they've beaten anybody is the problem. By the way, I think Ole Miss is the worst 11-0 team in the history of the sport.
Really?
Yes. Very bad.
Very bad. Forrest Gump says, time to win the biggest trophy in college basketball. David says he's sorry about the last comment. Is he on thin ice? If you guys are listening to this, David said, talk about wearing over ear beats and a stocking cap, hashtag outside podcasting. Ethan's wearing his, he's sick, David. He's sick.
I do this every time though.
Yeah, we know.
It's the hair. I don't know what else to do with it.
Cut it.
No.
All right.
I got to send a text here.
You got to send a text to who? About what?
Nothing.
Your doctor?
I don't know.
Illinois moves up three spots in the polls from 16 to 13. Some people have them as high as 10, 11 in that area.
Yeah, that's great. Ole Miss 11-0. Bad team.
Who cares? Jay says, how good is Michigan State? They look like crap for a majority of the season and then beat Baylor by 24. College basketball is an anomaly this year. I'm telling you.
I think Michigan State going in when Michigan State plays Illinois on January 11th, I think they will be in the midst of a 6-game win streak and they will have a 10-5 record.
Yeah. Well, Illinois starts off the Big Ten, Northwestern, Purdue, Michigan State, right? I'm not looking.
Sounds like 4-0. Already won.
I guess they already beat Rutgers, but.
They'll beat Northwestern at home. Okay, come on. And Michigan State at home. I mean, come on. That's two wins right there. And they'll shock the world against Purdue.
Jeff says, Brad way over-talked Colgate's guard. He uses his post-game interviews to build up a bad opponent. Yes, Brad is very good at coach speak. So.
Yep.
Yep.
We done?
Yeah. We'll see you guys Friday for the watch party.
Illinois, Missouri, Friday, 8 o'clock, FS1. A game that is, it hasn't gone well in the history of this podcast.
Have they ever won when we did a watch party?
Yeah, the Plummer year. Okay. Blowout, yeah. Other than that, though, 2-4 under Brad Underwood.
We are undefeated in watch parties this year, by the way, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah, because we didn't do Marquette or Tennessee. I think watch party were 5 or 6-0. It's not bad. Probably 5-0 because they're 8-2. We didn't do Western, Southern, or the other one.
Colgate. What about this comment? If we split against Purdue, Terrence Shannon Jr. will be Big Ten Player of the Year. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it is either. I just think that Edie's just already so far ahead in everybody's eyes. It's going to be hard for anybody to catch up, which I know it's stupid, but I just think that's how it works. So.
Yep.
Yep.
Bragging rights. Illinois 2-4 under the guidance of Brad Underwood. In this podcast history, I believe they are 1-4, I guess, would be 1-3, 1-4. Either way, not good. They won 4 in a row in the final 4 seasons of John Gross, and then they won against those 5 in a row. They lost
Gross? Is that what you're saying?
Sure. And they lost 3 in a row. And then they won Kofi's last year. And then they lost last year. And Io never beat Missouri, which is a shame.
That is a shame.
Last season was probably the lowest of the low. They got destroyed. I think Missouri probably had like that had to be one of Missouri's best offensive efficiency games of the season last year, and they were a top 10 offense. So you look back at that game, Missouri shot 64% from two, 50% from three, had 23 assists on 35 field goals, scored 51 in the first half, came out, punched Illinois in the mouth again by putting up 27 in the first 10 minutes of the second half. Kobe Brown, who's not there anymore, thank God, had 31, 5, and 8. A 6'8 forward getting 8 assists. Nice. Most of the players who did the damage against Illinois last season are gone, so that's good. If you look at 8 of their threes out of the 10 came from guys who are not there this year. So big news there. But we're on to this year. And I think Illinois, I'm not falling into the trap again. I'll tell you that. I'm not doing it.
I can't. You gave me so much crap for thinking Illinois could beat Tennessee. And then you go and do this.
I always think they're going to lose to Missouri.
All right. Jeff said that he changed his mind. We can't beat Purdue because we don't trap the ball on defense. Is Underwood coach of the year in the Big Ten if they say get second in the Big Ten and split versus Purdue?
Probably not. It'll probably be Hoiberg if they finish top five.
They're top five. I agree.
Or Greg Gard bounce back or Holtman bounce back. I mean, Underwood's had a good team almost every year. I know last year's team wasn't very good, but they won Big Ten games and made the tournament. So Missouri's lost two straight, Kansas and Seton Hall. Wins over Arkansas, Pine Bluff, SIUE, Minnesota, which they shouldn't have won. Minnesota choked that hard. South Carolina State, Loyola, Maryland, Pitt, and Wichita State. Losses to Memphis, Jackson State somehow, Kansas, and Seton Hall. Old team, a lot of seniors. Projected lineup, you got Sean East, 6'3", 180 senior, shooting 17 of 28 from three this year. So he'll probably go make five or six. Nick Honor, glue guy number two, 5'10". Guards a lot of positions despite only being 5'10". Tough senior, 44% from three. He'll probably make about six or seven. So that right there is 36 points between those two. Tamar Bates, 6'5", 195 junior, Indiana transfer, shooting 52% from three. So he'll probably make about five or six. That gets you to 48 points from those three guys from downtown. Noah Carter, 6'6", 235 senior, 1 for 12 from the field against Seton Hall, not his best effort. And sophomore big man, Aiden Shaw, 6'8", 205, 8 points in the last five games. So not a scorer. I'm just skipping over these because you can throw all the numbers out the window when Missouri makes 25 threes.
That's true. They also have a 7'4". Vanover.
So he sucks, but that's the argument. That's the argument when people say Zach Edey's only
the
good
bad Zach Edey.
I think Purdue fans are getting way too wrapped up in people saying that Edey is just tall, because I think there's aspects of that, but I also think he's skilled, because if you look at a guy like Vanover, who's like the same height, not good production. So whatever. Anyway, the Purdue needs to focus on things such as the Big Ten winning a national championship. Okay. Jesus. And it'd be nice to win one this year, because you know, we got four more shots at the dartboard next year with four new teams. Of course, Washington and Oregon probably have zero chance of ever winning one, and probably USC as well, because USC under Andy Enfield's the king of great recruiting and not enough results. Adjusted offense efficiency, Illinois 29, Missouri 69. Defense, Illinois 14th, Missouri 115th. I mean, this is, everything on paper says this game should be a blowout, but it's not going to be, because God forbid, you know, even though we did get the blowout the 1 year. Three-point percentage, Illinois is 32.5%. That's 203rd. Missouri, 36.2%. It'll probably be 56.2% on Friday night. They're 70th. Two-point percentage, Illinois 32nd, 56.1%. And then Missouri 109th, 52.4%. Players to watch.
I'm going to go with Coleman Hawkins. like I said, Mizzou runs a lot of the slagging defense, a little bit of zone mixed in there. So I think Coleman's going to have to kind of bring guys out, make some shots, maybe run that high-low with Dane a little bit. He's going to have to be more consistent. So I'm going to go with him. And then I'm going to go with Tamar Bates. He scored 22 against Seton Hall. Mizzou has some guys that can shoot. They don't shoot a lot from three, but they shoot it well between Bates, Honor, and East. So Illinois is going to have to shut down them from three.
I'm going to go Luke Goody. Illinois needs to make threes, so that would be the guy to make threes. And Sean East from Missouri, he'll probably have 30. I mean, let's just be honest, folks. Can we sit down and be honest for a second about how stupid these games are every year? It never goes the way that the paper would say, or the way that, like, one thing that I am less worried about is that Missouri doesn't have a lot of guys who have played in this before. And Illinois, you know, they really don't either, but they do have two really good players that had to sit there and just get destroyed last year. So that might help. But I just think that, you know, you just got to throw everything out the window, which is why I'm picking Illinois to lose.
Jess says, maybe I missed it. How do we match up size-wise?
Well, I think the numbers might be skewed a little bit when you look at the average height with Vanover for Missouri. But average height, Missouri is 261st at 76.7. And Illinois is definitely better than that. They are 78.6, 12th in the country. So,
yeah, they run Honors 5'10", East is 6'3". Their wings are 6'5", 6'6".
And Illinois is bigger in every way. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to see a solid performance from Harmon. Harmon's been playing well. Okay, I think it depends on how much time. I mean, do you think we see over 12 minutes out of Harmon in this game?
Yes.
Really?
Yep. 3-point percentage rundown, Illinois, real quick check. Shannon, 41.5%, hanging on for dear life. DGL, 17%. Damask, 22.7%. Hawkins, 23.3%. Guerrier, 23.3%.
Yikes.
Goody, 46% needed. And then Harmon, 35.7%. I think we take that all day. And Monty
Hansberry. The problem is Goody only shoots like three, if that, a game.
Monty Hansberry, 25%. 1-for-4. Not bad. Then Missouri.
Hawkins.
Missouri, Shawnee, 60%, like I said. Yeah. Which it's 60% with 25-plus taken. So Nick Honor, 44.8%. Noah Carter, 30. Caleb Grill, who is just such a head case, hasn't played the last two games. Who knows if he's coming back? 29%. Jesus Guerrero Martin, 20%. Tamar Bates, 52%. Anthony Robinson, 25%. Vanover, 20%. Kurt Lewis, 23%. Trent Pierce, 23%. They have so many random guys. John Tonji, 33%. Remember him, Colorado State transfer?
Yeah.
Early portal, we wanted him. But, yeah, he doesn't really do anything. So, I mean, I don't know if he's hurt, but he played 8 minutes in the last game and then didn't play the previous four. Aiden Shaw, 0%, doesn't take him. Jordan Butler, 22%. So every single number that you look at should say Illinois should win this game by at least double digits, but it's not going to happen, and they're going to lose 82-76. Believe it when I see it. Predictions.
I think Illinois is going to win this. Missouri, it's not a great scoring team. If they get over 70, I will be shocked. Illinois wins this running away, 78-65. It's not even going to be entertaining the last 5 minutes of the game. Ethan, terrible, terrible. Jay says, what do you think the line's going to be? Illinois minus 7? I think that's a fair assessment.
I go 8.5, be my guess.
Ethan would go 8.5, and he's
taking the Missouri
money line. So
take Missouri plus whatever it's going to be.
Jeff says Harmon is a lunch pail guy. He's not going to have a big game. Thoughts?
Yeah, it's great.
You agree with that, don't you?
Well, nobody said that he was going to have a big game, though, right?
Somebody just said that we needed a solid performance.
Yeah, that's a solid performance. Yeah, like make a couple threes.
Yeah. Score 8 points. How many Illinois players score in double figures? Three. That's mine. Who are your three, though?
Shannon.
Uh-huh. Same.
Guerrier.
Nope.
Damask.
Goody's going to make 4 threes this game. Write it down.
Hawkins is going to go 8, 8, and 8. 3 and 4.
Someone will have 15 plus lead at some point. I agree. And it's going to be Illinois. Damn it. All right.
Hopes up there in a very false way.
We wrapping this up or what? We are doing a watch party. Hopefully, if Ethan's alive and well, we're going to do a different kind of watch party. I invited some friends. Ethan invited
nobody.
Did you invite any friends?
No.
Why not?
I don't have any friends around here.
You at least got one. What about your brother?
Asked him. He doesn't. He's no.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. So we're going to have a group of people. It'll basically me and Ethan will be, you know, how we usually are, but we'll have people with us. Nice little get together.
Really looking forward to it.
Ethan really loves to see people. So it should be a good time. I'm looking forward to it. Ethan, you know,
probably. Yeah. I mean, you know, we'll see. I mean, we still got to go test some stuff over there. Well, such as being in the dark, which I really want to do.
If you're ever alive, we might be able to do that.
It's up to you now. I mean, I don't want to get anybody sick. You know, that's kind of the thing. Even though I don't think that I would, I don't know if I would get anybody sick. I don't know. It's not even like a real, like, it's just, could be weather. I don't even know.
Could just be the weather.
But maybe, I don't, you know, yeah. Usually I usually go down a little earlier in December. So it kind of sucks that it's the 20th and I'm starting to go down, you know? So, you know, but we might be in the dark.
A good day to play golf.
Yeah. Well, what can you do? I haven't been outside in like 3 days. So, we should be in the dark. I think that should be the move. What's the difference? You know, I mean,
I don't know.
I just think that the way I think, I need to see the setup in person because the picture that you sent me, it looked like Michael Scott's TV on the wall.
It's not on the wall. And my dad bought a 75 incher today. So
okay, well that changes things. But I was trying to make a Michael Scott reference because of the mug.
Oh. But yeah, we can.
And the dinner party episode of The Office, so season 4. Yeah, we need to do that. Yeah, and I need to check some audio stuff. You know.
When are we going to do it, though? I got pool league tomorrow. We'd have to go tonight.
Yeah, let's go.
All right.
Dedicated to the game, to the stuff, you know, the people. Doing it for the people. I mean, the people, I think one thing about the Missouri watch parties is that it always produces something, I would say, whether it's last year when we did it virtually and it was such a miserable experience. To watch that trash for the team to not show up. Yeah, because somebody was sick. Something was going on.
Family was sick.
COVID something or another. Yeah. But year for that, I think we did do the year for that in person. I can check these, but I feel like our Missouri watch parties always do numbers, but maybe the Plumber Kofi year didn't do numbers because all these people.
It's only Missouri haters that come by.
Yeah. Let me look it up here.
We need all the Illini fans to come into the chat and root out the Illinois hater or the Missouri.
So haters. Last season we had 1.2K views. The year before that, only 284 for the win. So that tells you all you need. That was in person. I think there was also the year before. Okay, so we did in person for the IO. Kofi one seed year that did 1,000 views, and then the year before that we didn't do because I think you were there.
So numbers wise, we want Illinois to lose this game.
Yes, yeah. But I also think that we have more followers and subscribers now than we did 2 years ago. So
yeah, thank you.
We would our worst would be like 500, 600. So, yeah, I'm sure there's gonna be audio issues or something that'll pop up probably. So
it'll be fine.
Yep.
All right. As always, I want to shout out Alamo Steakhouse and Saloon at 700 East Broadway Avenue in Mattoon, Illinois. You can find them online at alamo-steakhouse.com. Wednesday is tonight, correct? I believe.
Yep.
Special is carnitas, which is three soft flour tortillas filled with slow roasted seasoned pork and topped with some pico, some queso fresco. Don't forget happy hour 4 to 6 every weekday, $2 wells and domestics, $3 call its and Alamo margaritas, and $5 wine and martinis. If you'd like to be a sponsor, please reach out to us at IlliniBasketballPodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to like, subscribe, review, comment, share. How many followers were we at? Subscribers we at?
I got to pull it up again.
I think it's like 403.
413.
Woo!
Plus two. We were at 411 last episode.
87 away, folks. If you can go to YouTube and subscribe, we would appreciate it. I'm trying to get to 500. If we do, Ethan is going to play 24 hours of basketball.
Okay. I also want to throw out there the fact that here's the watch. It's already set up, you know, good to go.
Oh, so, yeah.
I always try my best to match the colors to there. And usually looks sometimes the codes aren't right, but I think it was right this time. So yeah, you could do that. I don't know what we're going to do at halftime for this one. We have set a standard that we have to do something at halftime every single time. I don't know. Anybody have like one of those basketball hoops that you clip to a door?
Yeah, we have one. My wife took it to school though.
You know, we could, or we could do nothing. I mean, there is a kitchen. We could, you know,
we'll figure something out. I can bring my little putting mat. We can have a putt off. But we know who will win that.
Me, yeah. Correct. If you line me up, I'll win.
Yeah, so, stop by. If you guys are, mad at Illinois losing by 15, stop by. Say hello.
Yeah.
We'll be live about, what time are we going to go live?
Probably 10 minutes before, 5 minutes before.
We'll be live. 25 minutes before.
Now, let me ask you a couple questions here, and I'll do it in front of our audience just to show
good.
That
great
that we're not hiding anything here. First question would be, am I going to be allowed to curse?
Yes.
Okay. Good. That's good. I don't do it too much. I'll try to be, maybe I'll just not talk the whole time. Who knows?
It'll be fine.
You
can act how you always do. Everybody that's gonna be there has seen you on the watch party. So
good. Well, I'm like a celebrity. I don't know if I'll do autographs, but we'll see. My second question was, are we going to get banned on YouTube if somebody will there be a chance of somebody saying something that we can't say on YouTube and then we get banned?
Is somebody saying something worse than you? Probably not.
Okay, I mean, what have I said other than the F?
What do you think? What do you think my friends sit around and say?
I don't know. I just, you never know. I mean, you gotta prepare.
Sure, like,
there's certain jokes that could be made. I mean, YouTube is so soft. Like,
that's true.
YouTube, their system can't interpret what's that's a joke and what's not a joke. So that was really the main thing there. And also, if we do get banned from YouTube, I mean, who cares?
Exactly.
We don't have any strikes right now. Anyway, plus, we're not monetized, so I don't think they're going to care at all. But anyway, if you get us 500 subscribers, we'll be making like billions of dollars a year from this. So what the hell is everybody doing? And also, the fact that we're about to get 50 minutes out of this episode, it's pretty good because I didn't even watch the last game pretty much. I mean, it was on. I watched in spots. But other than that, yeah, it was a pretty easy win. What are your thoughts on the fact that this is a Friday night game? That's kind of buried, right? It's kind of weird.
Yeah, there must be a game on before. Why is it at 8 o'clock?
I hate it. Every year is like 8 o'clock and it's a Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, or Wednesday, I guess.
Yeah.
Because remember Saturday night in the year that Illinois got the one seed, they had to play in Columbia because of COVID. and it was a Saturday night on SEC Network. It was like a Missouri, like Illinois. How could they have won that game? Illinois had no chance. Everything was Missouri. We had to play in Columbia. It was on SEC Network. No fans in Illinois, or there was fans, but it was like barely any fans. And Illinois lost by 3, and they were horrible in the entire game. But Illinois, the far superior team, got as far as Missouri did. They both got in the second round. So there you go. Missouri lost to Gonzaga. Anyway, trying to look at something here for the – okay, yeah, our podcast numbers for the Missouri game sucked last year, so hopefully they're good this year. I guess nobody wanted to listen. Honestly, there are times where if my team loses, I don't really want to talk about it or hear anybody talk about it, you know? So I understand why people might not want to listen if we lose, if they lose, if Illinois loses, stuff like that.
Right.
All right. I probably should have done this for the episode since it's the 20th. I probably should have put the snow on the screen, so I probably tried to do that during the watch party. I also have this from last year if we want to throw this up there. Hang on. What's the comment say?
I don't know. Arizona played like crap against Purdue. Boswell did nothing.
Also had this up there one time. Is it still sponsored by McBride Homes?
I have no idea.
Here's a background with a Christmas tree in the top left. So that could have been something that I did. Anyway, yeah, Arizona, Purdue just like made everything, you know? And Arizona, the fact that Arizona stayed in that game, I think says a lot because like, every time you look, Purdue was up 10, but then it was down to like 5. And the Kylan Boswell thing, I mean, look, Kylan Boswell's had a great season. I wish he was at Illinois. You're going to have games like that, right? It's going to happen.
Imbrot says, I guess there's a stat that it has never happened where the Natty is ranked out of the top 12 this week every year or 13th.
Do you expect this team to win a national championship?
I think we're just going for a Sweet 16, right?
Yeah. You know, Illinois hasn't been to the
Sweet 16.
Casually haven't been to the Sweet 16 in 18 years.
Yeah.
It'll be 19 in March. So that's unfortunate, but that's actually really bad. Haven't been to a Sweet 16. Bruce Weber never got to a Sweet 16 with his own team, I should say. It's unfortunate. How many good players have come through the program? Speaking of a good player that maybe gets forgotten, but had maybe the biggest moment in Bragging Rights history over the last 15 years, Revonte Rice.
Ray Rice.
Good player. Buzzer beater. Back when I didn't even – there was like the end of DJ Richardson, Brandon Paul into like the mid-2010s is when you just completely stop caring about the program for a few years, and then I get back in. Probably post Miami tournament loss, stop caring for a few years, then come back. But the Revonte Rice thing I do remember, and Malcolm Hill was a really good player. But anyway, you know, I could probably easily do 7 more minutes here if needed for the folks out there. Anybody want to get their final? We didn't really talk about the college. We haven't done an episode in a while.
I mean, if you want to go around the Big Ten, we can. I just thought you.
How about Indiana? Well, I'm building up here. I haven't spoken a lot in the last few days, so my voice is pretty fresh. Indiana is hard to watch, you know. Indiana was awful last night. They end up beating Morehead State by 1. Kansas game, I think Indiana probably played better basketball than Kansas for a lot of it. Still lost by 4. That's what happens when you play Kansas. They got destroyed by Auburn. Like, Indiana them being 8-3 and then undefeated in the Big Ten right now is pretty insane given how bad they've looked in a lot of games. Illinois, obviously we've talked about them plenty. Wisconsin, they got Chicago State, huge game Friday night. Chicago State beat Northwestern. So that's tough. I mean, Northwestern, I don't really know what they are. They're not good would probably be my overall thought. How about Wesley Cardet, the sophomore from Chicago State, putting up 30 on Northwestern, including 10 for 12 from inside the three-point line. Chicago State, by the way, 4-9 when they beat Northwestern. So that's good. Northwestern then proceeded to only score 56 points against DePaul, but beat them by 10 because it's DePaul. Chicago's Big Ten team is Chicago State. Purdue 10-1, they beat Arizona. I think you texted me, nobody's going to beat Purdue if they're shooting it like they did. Scored 92 points the last two games. 26 for Smith, 27 for Lawyer, 22 for Edie. And then you get little things here, and they're like 9 from Jones and a couple other guys scored points. So, and this Jeffrey Anderson, the high knees referee, this guy never stops working. Legend. Does every game.
Yeah. He's traveling all over the country, isn't he?
His schedule. Okay, so you can pull it up on KenPom. I have it. Since Illinois' game against Florida Atlantic, he did December 8th, Boston College, Holy Cross. December 9th, Rutgers, Seton Hall. December 10th, Michigan, Iowa. 14th, I think he does a bunch of – he does like three or four in a row, then takes a couple of days, and then three or four in a row. Wisconsin, Jacksonville State on the 14th. UConn – well, he's actually been on fire lately. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, he's done a game. He went Midwest tour. He went Wisconsin, Jacksonville State in Wisconsin, but then he went to the West Coast, UConn, Gonzaga, and Washington. Then somehow the next day he's in Indianapolis doing Purdue, Arizona. Then he's in Champaign doing Illinois, Colgate. And then he is in East Lansing doing Michigan State, Oakland. So he's been on fire lately. Didn't do a game last night, though, so pretty weak. I could see him doing this game on Friday. Wouldn't surprise me. Could you check and see if there's a game on before Illinois, Missouri on Friday?
Yep.
What happened to Marquette, says Jeffrey. Teams hit lulls in the season. Providence is a hard place to play. I think you texted me Marquette sucks, to which I said nothing to.
I thought you were dead. And then I texted you today and asked if you were alive, and you said no. I thought you were more dead. So
I think the thing for Marquette is that if you're getting fewer than 15 from Cam Jones, and then Ross, Joplin, Jones, and Norman combined for 12 points, it's going to be hard to beat teams. And they didn't have it on offense. 4 for 20 from three. And then Devin Carter and then Bryce Hopkins and Ticket Gaines showed up for Providence. Ticket Gaines, by the way, a transfer from George Mason with Kim English.
Georgetown Marquette is on before Illinois.
So a good old-fashioned beatdown before the the game. Marquette will take out their frustration on a Georgetown team that is 7-5, by the way, and 284th in offensive efficiency. Lost to Butler by 10.
Last night, right?
Butler's pretty good, though. Overall, yeah, Butler on the up and up.
I just remember seeing the game.
Butler now 10-2 after a 3-2 start. 5-point loss to FAU, and they've won every game since then, including double overtime against Cal and overtime against Texas Tech. But other than that, yeah, the Big Ten sucks. I mean, what do you want to say? It's not in a good spot right now. They really need Purdue to be good and Wisconsin, Ohio State, and Illinois to show up in the tournament. I don't really know what to make of Michigan. A game against Florida last night is probably one they should have won. Yeah. They're not 6-6. They're going to be them. I would say Michigan, Indiana, Nebraska, I guess Maryland maybe, and Iowa are going to be on the bubble probably all year. I think Michigan State to an extent will be, but I think they'll win enough to where they'll get in. Is Providence getting overlooked? No. I think Providence getting properly looked at as like the sixth best team in the Big East, probably. Like I would say UConn, Creighton are the top two, and Marquette as well. So that's three. Then I still think that Villanova, despite the flaws and some of the losses, they're better than Providence. And then Providence probably slots in behind them. So, yeah, I don't know. The Big East is like – I don't know. I feel like UConn's just going to – they didn't even really run through the Big East last year. They went 13-7, but I feel like this year they could really do some serious damage in the Big East, especially with the way that their schedule lines up. Like, they have a pretty easy road to a 6-0 start with Seton Hall, St. John's, DePaul, Butler, Xavier, Georgetown. Like, that's a pretty easy 6-0 if they take care of business on the road against Seton Hall, Butler, and Xavier. So I think UConn's pretty clearly the best team in that conference. UConn stores Connecticut. Everybody throw a college at me. I'll tell you what city they're in. D1. College basketball. Without looking. I'll do one. I'll go after you right now. How about this? Baylor.
Oregon.
What'd you just say?
What are we doing?
I don't know. I got to an hour. That's pretty good. Kennesaw State's in Kennesaw, Georgia. Nice try. If you were coaching Illinois, how would you beat Purdue? I don't think I can say out loud what I would do. Be very old school.
Really?
Yeah, like if I – never mind. I can't. In reality, I would say I think you have to kind of hope and pray in some spots. Like, they miss some shots. But I would try to ball pressure the absolute piss out of Lawyer and Smith. And then you got to try to neutralize Jones by putting a defender on him. And then you got to hope that Coleman Hawkins can, you know, not do what he did to Dickinson last year.
He scored
30, but it was – I wouldn't press the whole game, but I would pressure the ball a lot. I don't want to get the guys tired. I think Rodgers has to be the point man for that, though, because you're not worried about his offense.
That's fair.
Yeah, so where is Oklahoma?
Oklahoma.
University of Oklahoma City. Go.
Oklahoma City.
All right. You're not even doing this.
I don't know. You're asking the wrong Norman. Guy. This is your thing.
Isn't it's not even my thing. It's just something that you know. Ohio Come State. On. There's an easy one. Ohio State.
Columbus.
There you go.
Thank you.
All right, I think that's enough. How to beat Purdue. Prevent the pass to Eddie. Why does everyone call him Eddie? Is it like an autocorrect thing? It's got to be.
It's got to be.
Defend the three at the same time. We can't. Yeah, I think Illinois in a game like that's probably going to shoot more threes than people want them to.
Oh, 1,000%.
But, like, how else are you – like, can anybody on this team score in there against Edie consistently? Like, if it's a good Dame day, I still don't think he does. And they're not going to call every foul on Edie. Like, that's just – there's too many. It's just how it is. What did Northwestern do against them, you know? Go back and watch the tape. Tell me Northwestern has better personnel than Illinois. They don't. It's not even close. You need a guard to score 30 like Boo Booey did. And you need another guard to score 20. And then you need another guard to score 20. So you need three guys to put up 20-plus in your backcourt. And then have a guy that can foul out. So bring Hansberry in, get him 5 fouls. And then you need a couple of your bench guys to make some shots. And you got to hit 20 free throws out of 32. And you got to get 22 assists on 31 baskets. And you got to stop ball. All right, that's enough. I can't. I'll go for like another hour if I just do this. See everybody Friday. 95% chance. I'm going to throw that number out there.
If they, when I give a high percentage like that, it usually means that it's not happening. Like, when I give a low percentage, that means it's happening.
Well, I gave the percentage, so nice try. What's your percentage?
100.
It's a high percentage.
I mean, I'll do it without you. I don't care. Who needs Ethan? You guys want Ethan there, honestly? I mean,
you're sacrificing the entire show, but that's all right.
Bergy told you to end a half hour ago.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what he's saying. All right. We'll be back Friday night. Better be a win. I just can't. I can't do another loss. We'll play the. I'll just play this real quick since it is.
Percentage we best Missouri, 26%.
12%.
Thin ice coming in? Or what?
Underwood. Thin ice!
At least we're not number 6 in the nation. I think that this team will have a little bit more pride.
They better. There's no excuse not to. I don't want to be yelling about this team 5 minutes into the game.
That's true.
Like, I don't want to come out like last year. I feel like they came out, they were down like 13-3 instantly or something. I don't know. All right. Oh, see everybody Friday.